6-3, that is our first time certain item.
Accept the Providence Park Comprehensive Transportation Management Plan 2019 Season Report.
Colleagues, our next item is the Providence Park Comprehensive Transportation Management Plan 2019 Season Report presented by Peregrine Sports of the Portland Timbers and the Thorns. The Comprehensive Transportation Management Plan, or CTMP, is required as part of the Stadium Good Neighbor Agreement. The Stadium Good Neighbor Agreement dictates how the stadium owner, operator, and surrounding neighborhoods work together to ensure mutual success. It is required by Portland Planning and Zoning Code to operate the stadium. We have Carl Lyle here from the Office of Management and Finance to introduce the report before we have Ken Puckett of Peregrine Sports and Phil Olmstead of Nelson Nygaard presenting. The neighborhood representatives from the Stadium Oversight Committee have also been invited to speak. Thanks, Carl. Why don't you go ahead and start?
Great. Thank you very much. Good morning, Mayor Commissioners. I'm Carl Lyle. I manage the city's Spectator Venues Program with the Office of Management and Finance. As you know, Peregrine Sports, LLC, operates the city-owned stadium known as Providence Park under the terms of a series of long-term agreements with the city. Peregrine is the parent company to the Portland Timbers and the Portland Thorns soccer clubs. As the operators of the stadium, Peregrine is responsible for developing a comprehensive transportation management plan to consider how fans will travel to and from events at the stadium. This plan must be approved by City Council. Peregrine's transportation plan was originally developed and approved in 2011 when the Timbers joined Major League Soccer and the stadium was remodeled from a baseball configuration to a being soccer-specific facility. To reflect the 4,000-seat expansion completed just last year, the plan was further updated by the Timbers and approved by the City Council in spring of last year. To develop the updated plan, the Timbers worked over a two-year period during construction of the expansion with the city, their consultants, and the Stadium Oversight Committee, which includes neighborhood representatives appointed by the Goose Hollow Foothills League and the Northwest District Association, and you'll hear from them later today. When the City Council approved the updated plan last year, Council requested specifically that Peregrine prepare and present to you a monitoring report following the initial inauguration season in 2019. This is the report that's before you today. I'd like to introduce our speakers. Ken Puckett is the Senior Vice President of Operations at Providence Park, and Phil Olmstead is with Nelson Nygaard Consulting. Ken and Phil will present the report. After their presentation, we've invited the two neighborhood representatives, as I said, on the Stadium Oversight Committee to speak. They are Jerry Powell with the Goose Hollow Foothills League and Ron Walters from the Northwest District Association. After the presentation, I'm available if you have questions, and I've also seen a few key folks from transportation who are also in the audience. Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning.
As many times as I do this, I'm still always very nervous, so work with me here.
Yeah, it's scary, isn't it?
Yeah. So as Carl said, we were here to present our CTMP progress report, and we're proud about a few things, and then we also can identify that we have a lot of work to do as we move this forward. Some of the highlights from last year, we had 25,000 fans generate approximately 4,900 parked cars. 53% of fans used alternative transportation to get to the games. That's the share of fans driving dropped to 47%. Get the slide up there. Nearly 9 out of 10 drivers, 9 out of 10 driving fans carpooled with one another. 60% of Timbers and 50% of Thorns fans patronized local or downtown businesses coming to and from the game. Peregrine Sports employs about a dozen full-time staff to work with closing streets, putting the bike racks out, and everything needed to support the CTMP, along with a lot of contracted services. Additional improvements are needed to address our fans parking on street. Timbers, we're already working on key actions for the 2020 season. Funding, I think you'll hear from Mike Krebs today with PDOT, we're funding increased parking enforcement. We're collaborating with the neighborhoods to identify more off-street parking. There's a lot of new buildings going up around us where we're pre-buying some of that parking already, and we'll continue to monitor the progress in the 2020 season.
So I'll take over.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks, Ken. My name's Phil Olmstead with Nelson Nygaard Consulting Associates. We're the traffic and transportation consultants supporting the Timbers and the Oversight Committee on this effort. thank you, Mayor. Thank you, Commissioners, for having us again to review our findings and our work. I'm going to give a brief overview, but there's certainly a very detailed report in front of you with lots of data and lots of information. Our focus today is really to recap the monitoring we did in 2019, but I did want to quickly recap what y'all approved back in April, I believe. So the CTMP included 21 measures to really address reduced driving, reduced congestion, and reduced parking in the community around Providence Park, as well as providing more multimodal options for fans. It's a complicated environment. Anytime you get 25,000 people coming to one location, it's hard to get them in and out of that area. So the CTMP really recognized that there's not one solution. It's a suite of strategies across modes, across programs, across incentives, across marketing communications. And the CTMP really recognizes that this is an ongoing effort requiring close monitoring, and that's what we've been doing over the last year or last season. So just a quick recap of what we did and what we took action on after your approval of the CTMP. We added, there are now 3 max trains in each direction that supports supplement or the regular service. Line 24 was expanded to the stadium and now provides additional service during or after the games, to and from after the games. We made a proactive effort to really formalize the pickup and drop-off around Lyft and Uber. We established some drop-off zones. There was a marketing campaign that the Timbers initiated and really shared with the fans. Also, more investment in proven strategies that we know the fans really like and enjoy. More valet parking for bikes, dedicated scooter parking. Ken and his team really updated the website, providing not only more information on parking, but multimodal transportation options. And then, of course, we really made a concerted effort to improve the monitoring and tracking of data. The monitoring program was really designed to address past inconsistencies, lack of consistent data that we had. So we developed a new survey instrument, a new data collection plan, working with our partners. The oversight committee review, we met with them 4 times to review the monitoring program. They reviewed and provided input on the travel survey. And the survey to fans went out to a sample of both season ticket holders and single game holders. We got close to 4,000 responses. And we now have a consistent survey that we can use to better track progress from year to year. So some key highlights, as Ken mentioned, I'll kind of dig in a little bit more detail. What we saw as pretty good progress in 2019 seasons. The mode share for fans driving to the stadium went down to 47%, less than half of fans drive to the stadium. And when they do, we definitively now know that the vast majority of them are carpooling, almost 9 in 10 fans who do drive, almost 3 fans per car.
2.7.
So it's the average.
Yeah. 1.7.
And I would
that's
note,
the guy they pick up across the street.
I would note that we did beat our 3-year target already, and we got some feedback from you when we brought the goals to you to be a bit more ambitious, and we did end up beating that goal.
I'm pleasantly surprised, but I'm going to push you to set higher goals since you did so well this
year. Our transit mode share did go up. I think this is a testament to TriMet's investment in additional MAX and bus service. About 8,200 fans are now on transit, taking transit to the game. Active modes, so to speak, went up, biking, walking, scooting. And I would note that everyone who takes MAX is ultimately walking to the stadium. This is a reflection of people who walk for the entirety or the vast majority of their trips. That was the kind of core question in the survey. So about 3,300 fans are taking an active mode. We also asked not just about travel behavior, but satisfaction. About 4 in 10 are saying they have a real positive experience. They like the amenities. They like the services that the Timbers and the city are offering.
Thank you.
As Ken mentioned, we have a better understanding not just of how people are getting to the game, but what they're doing and some of their behaviors. So, and I think we intuitively kind of knew this, but we definitively know that a good chunk of fans are not just going to the game, but going to local or downtown businesses as part of their trip to the game. One of the things we'd like to know a little bit more is where and kind of what their average spend is, and that's something I think we'll try and address in the 2020 survey. As Ken mentioned, there are areas to improve. So then even with the mode share going down, the number of vehicles parking overall and the number of vehicles parking on the street did go up. This is partially a reflection of the fact that we added 4,000 more seats. But nevertheless, it's an area of focus, an area of improvement that we really identified for 2020. Part of that and part of the focus is making sure that fans utilize existing off-street parking.
So I have a question. I just want to make sure I understand this dynamic, because I read the articles and it sort of poses the question. So the mode share is improving. It's moving towards transit, which we want. But the number of fans, the fan base is expanded. Therefore, there are still more vehicles coming in. Is that the right way to interpret this?
Yes.
Okay. So... okay, I won't interrupt you.
Yeah.
Continue.
So if we want to get those vehicles out, we got to continue to drive that mode share down. And that is ultimately, I think, the long-term goal, and we'll talk about those targets in a second. A big part of that also, you know, if fans do drive, let's get them off the streets and get them parking in an off-street parking garage. So we looked at data from just a sample of off-street facilities, smart park garages, some of the more proximate private garages at Good Sam, at PSU, Parking Structure 1, and just looking at those, looking at the data at the typical game time, there's at least 2,300 open spaces. So a big focus is how do we get more fans to those facilities using those facilities, right? There is available underutilized parking at game times.
Okay, so I had a question about this too. There's a supply-demand imbalance here. The price is too high.
Yeah.
Has anybody thought about lowering the price and seeing if you could get more people to park and therefore make more money and increase off-street parking?
That was my question as well.
I stole this question from Commissioner.
Yes.
Yeah, so price is a key driver of travel behavior and parking behavior. So I think it's a combination of making sure that you have that your price incentives are driving people towards off-street parking. So if we want that off-street parking to be lower price than on-street parking. That's really, really important.
We don't control any of that, right? I mean, this is
we
a bunch
do.
Of different
we don't. So
garages,
part of it,
parking lots,
right.
People's backyard, whatever.
So, yeah, you know, the city as well, Smart Park, the city does have some control of that, and they've made some great efforts to provide that low-cost option, and they have a voucher program for season ticket holders that offers a 10% discount if you have a season ticket holder. I think one of the things we'd like to see more is maybe expanding that discount, marketing it better. A relatively small fraction of season ticket holders are using that. And then as...
I was just going to say, but almost nobody uses it. That gets the incentive. So is it the right incentive?
Well, I think it's something to explore, right? How can we see if we can maybe increase that reduction or increase that discount, better market it? But there is capacity, yeah.
So I do want, I mean, since we've started to dig in. Of the underutilized parking, is any of that Smart Park or is it all privately owned?
So what we did in our data collection effort was we looked at a limited number of off-street facilities.
Okay.
There are several, you know, upwards of 10,000 parking spaces in and around the stadium. We were only able to get data for off-street,
yeah.
Yes. So we looked at the three Smart Park garages you see here on this graphic, as well as we got data from Legacy Good Sam and from Parking Structure 1 at PSU. And just from looking at that small sample, we have identified a significant amount of available parking during game times. And remember, game times are typically weekdays in the evening and on weekends, right? We're not talking about, peak weekday time.
So those are all garages. We're not talking about... You didn't look at surface lots.
Correct.
Because I am just, the wheels are turning in my mind how we could work with privately owned parking garages or lots to increase use. But I mean, I lived in Northwest Portland for 18 years, and I've always been confused about when I can and can't park in that Good Sam garage. So I think there's some public education to do as well.
Right. I mean, we'd be proponent of the Good Sam garage. We would help market that and drive folks there. One thing we did find, not to get off topic a little bit, but is that there has to be something around the parking garage that fans would park that distance from. So they go to Northwest, they go up 21st, 23rd, have dinner, have beer. The PSU garage, on the other hand, we made available, advertised. We didn't get very many people because walking from there to the stadium, there's not much to do.
There isn't much to do.
Right.
Yeah.
And that drives the decision making as well.
Okay.
At that point.
So I would be happy to wait until you're done if you don't have a lot.
Sure, I have a couple other points to make, a couple other slides here. Ride Hail is another focus for 2020. We did really make an effort to rationalize that mode. It's has its pros and cons. It reduces parking in the neighborhood, but can drive up congestion. So really tried to focus with a couple designated zones. And we did see some progress. Some fans are really utilizing these zones for pickup. I don't think we'll ever get to 100%. Just from the survey, we know that fans kind of disperse out from the stadium. If they are taking Ride Hail, they're going downtown. They're picking up their Ride Hail home at later hours and combining that with a trip. But it's something definitely to focus on for this coming year. So some recommendations, I think we already started touching on these, but really focusing in on making sure fans and directing them are utilizing off-street parking, whether it's the Smart Park Garage and the incentive programs around that, whether it's Legacy Good Sam, whether it's continuing to partner with private lot owners, and really directing fans to those underutilized facilities. Pairing that with management tools to continue to incentivize and manage that on-street parking in the best way possible, that could include looking at the rates during game times. It could include looking at the event district boundaries. Those, of course, have to go through the appropriate city processes and in partnership with the Northwest Parking SAC. Ken and his team have been working with PBOT to really come up with some enhanced enforcement efforts for the 2020 season, making sure that's cost effective and impactful, and folks are responding and the rules that are in place are enforced. Continuing to partner with our Ride Hail partners, making sure that they are educating and informing both passengers and drivers about how to do Ride Hail in and around the stadium. I think one of the things we'd be interested in, Ken and the team would be interested in, is piloting a PIN-based program similar to what's at the airport, making it easier for fans to find and get their rides out of the stadium. I think that's something that we'd really like to look at in the 2020 season and beyond. And then finally, pushing our targets and continuing to use those as an anchor point for our work. So we've revised those targets. We'd love your feedback on this as well. But getting down to 42% drive alone by the 2022 season and really making sure that folks who are driving are parking off street and not on street. And I'll end my comments there and ready to take questions. Thank you.
Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you. Thank you so much for, I always love getting reports in advance because then I get to read them and mark them up and ask questions.
Sure.
So I want to start with, what I understand the mission of the CTMP is to ensure that game day travel is safe, convenient, and simple, not just for fans, but all neighbors and stakeholders of Providence Park. I wanted to read that because I saw nothing in your report about the impact on the neighbors and the neighborhood, and I didn't see any surveying of the neighborhood about whether or not they are having more trouble this season versus last season, parking in front of their own houses or getting out of their own houses. So how do I evaluate the effectiveness without knowing what the neighbors actually consider in this process?
So you're correct. We did. Our survey was focused on fans.
Why?
To see to really monitor how they are getting to and from the stadium. That identifying that mode split, that mode share for fans is one of the key ways in which we can address and evaluate impacts on the neighbors. We did identify and did articulate in the report that one of the key impacts and one of the key goals around reducing the amount of vehicles parking on street was not met. And I did identify that that burden has increased on the neighbors. Again, our mode share went down for driving, but with the overall increase in number of fans, the number of vehicles parking on the neighborhood streets is a continued issue.
So how do we effectively evaluate whether or not you're having an impact if you're not weighing what's happening with the fans against what's happening with the neighbors?
Well, I think part of that is the process that's set up with the Oversight Committee. We have neighborhood representation on the Oversight Committee. They're helping us evaluate and provide input and represent the communities in which they live.
And we're going to hear from them.
And we're going to hear from them. I will ask them those questions, but that was the deficit that I saw right away. This report only talks about how it's impacting the folks who play at the stadium, but it really doesn't talk about community impact in a way that I need to evaluate whether or not neighbors are just losing their minds on game day. I don't know, right? Because it's not in my report. So that's one thing that I found that I wondered about. I think one of the other questions that I had is really around, I would think, and tell me if I'm wrong, that you could have the most impact on season ticket holders. And so season ticket holders are the ones that ride public transit the least. They're the ones that drive the most. They're the ones that don't even use the incentives. And, you know, I guess you could do your own analysis about why that would be. So what is your plan to actually engage season ticket holders and being good community partners?
Well, I'll let Ken jump in here as well.
Offer, when you buy a season ticket, you have a couple choices. You can get a half-price pass on in a transit. Mm-hmm. We fund the other half. You can pledge to bike, and you get a free valet bike with security, or you can pledge to walk. What we found is our fans want choices. They don't want to be all fans. They don't want to be locked in on one mode. They want to, on a summer day, they want to walk down 21st and come to the game. On a rainy day, maybe they're driving more because of the rain. Weekday games, a lot less bikes come with their children on the back than on a Sunday afternoon. So it's just, our philosophy is just giving the fan the choices out there and the soup of Portland to decide what's the best way, and still by monitoring that for livability in the neighborhoods.
I would just hate for such a small sample to kind of guide as we move forward, right? Mm-hmm. You had a 22% return rate total, and so it's a good start, but, you know, I don't know how much faith I would put into a 22% return rate as far as actually developing policy around that initial survey. I do have a couple of other questions, but they're not as important, I think, as what the impact is on the neighborhood. So I'll wait, and if you'll be kind enough, I may have other questions after we hear from your Oversight Committee.
Sure.
Thank you. Mayor.
Commissioner Udaly.
Thank you. So, I mean, I can speak to the impact on the neighborhood a little bit because I lived there for 18 years on 19th and Hoyt, and the overflow from those games and events definitely impacted my neighborhood and beyond. So it is significant, and it's only gotten worse with the increased capacity at the stadium. I just have a few comments. One is, you know, PBOT, of course, is working diligently to make the city safer to walk and bike in. We are pushing some transformative programs around transit, making transit a more kind of viable, desirable option for people that live further and further out. I want to push back on the idea that 2.7 people is a carpool. That's a couple and their kid. And I don't consider a carpool any less than 3. And carpooling is an area that I'm really interested in because it's a mode share it's the only mode share that's in decline in the city. And yet we have technology that should make it easier than ever to carpool. So I think there's an opportunity here to work with season ticket holders and the Timbers Army and the Thorns Fan Club to really encourage. I mean, carpooling is my third or fourth choice after bike, walk, transit, but if there were 3 to 5 people in that car, That would make a difference. Same with ride hail. There are carpooling mm-hmm. options with ride hail, and although people taking TNCs to and from the stadium might alleviate some parking issues, it's not good for congestion and emissions. So those are the areas that I'd be really and then increasing the use of surface lots. Those are the areas I'd be really interested in working with you on to increase.
Great, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Very good.
Good.
Thank you. Next, we're going to hear from our Neighborhood Stadium Oversight Committee representatives, Ron Walters and Jerry Powell. Good presentation. Thank you for answering the questions.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for being here.
Thanks
for your patience as well.
Do you want to go first, Jerry, or do you want me to go first? All right.
And you can slide the mic a little bit close. About 6 inches is about the right distance.
Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for the opportunity to testify. My name is Ron Walters, and I am NWDA's representative to the Oversight Committee. I live in Northwest Overton, half a mile or so from Providence Park. I'm a Timbers fan, full disclosure, season ticket holder. I walked all the games. I also have a driveway, so the parking doesn't affect me directly. It's important to recognize that the 2019 season report was not prepared for or by the Stadium Oversight Committee. It was produced by a credible consulting firm. It has the challenging task of delivering a report that's both objective and acceptable to the Timbers, their client. We believe the report tends to highlight the positive news and downplay the hard fact that the primary goal of the CTMP was not achieved in 2019. As a reminder, and I'm quoting here from the CTMP, the primary goal of the 2019 CTMP update was to accommodate the transportation needs of 4,000 additional fans per match without increasing demand for on-street parking or increasing traffic congestion in the neighborhoods near the stadium. Allow me to highlight three critical facts that are embedded in this 35-page report. Fact number one, demand for on-street parking increased significantly in 2019. It exceeded the 2019 goal by over 300 vehicles. Fact number two, on-street parking by Timbers fans was particularly problematic in Northwest Portland. According to the report, 759 vehicles park on-street in Northwest Portland on a typical game day. Let me repeat that, 759 vehicles park on-street in Northwest Portland during a typical Timbers game day.
And I'm sorry to interrupt, and did you see on a non-Timbers day what the number was?
No.
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 Okay.
Although the Northwest Parking SAC can provide that information to you, they've surveyed both game days and non-game
you
days.
You guess it's several hundred over
correct
over the baseline.
Okay, correct.
Thank you. Sorry to interrupt.
No problem.
I do want to just mention that number is not great for the local businesses as well as residents who are trying to park.
That's a good point.
Correct.
If, customers are avoiding the whole area during game day because they can't park anywhere. So. Sorry, I'm just thinking out loud because obviously there is plenty of off-street capacity. There's plenty of options other than single-occupant vehicles. So I'm excited about improving those numbers.
No, that's absolutely true. The business community is not monolithic. Plenty of them love game day. They're selling beer, and you know it helps thriving businesses. Others dislike it because their customers avoid the area on game days. Fact number three, automobile traffic on game days increased significantly in 2019. Total automobile trips by Timbers fans, those who drove or took rideshare, increased by roughly 800 trips per match. So it's clear to us that more aggressive action is needed, and we appreciate the fact that the Timbers and the city recognize that. Believe it or not, we generally support the report's recommendations for additional mitigation. However, we're concerned that they may not be implemented. As it stands, the Timbers are not required to implement any of the recommendations in the report. And to date, the Timbers have resisted or ignored many of the recommendations previously proposed both by the NWDA and the Northwest Parking Stakeholder Advisory Committee. With that in mind, we ask City Council to support a more rigorous oversight process that includes three specific actions. One, require the Stadium Oversight Committee to meet at least 4 times a year. The current GNA requires 1 meeting per year. Second, expand and diversify the committee to better represent the residents and businesses impacted by Timbers games. And third, require the Timbers to actually act on recommendations that are approved by a majority vote of the Oversight Committee. Thank you for your consideration.
Thank you.
Thank you. Mayor? Commissioner Hardesty.
Thank you so much for your testimony. My question is, can you describe to me what your Oversight Committee process is like?
I would love to have that conversation. In fact, the whole conversation about the Good Neighbor Agreement, how the committee is structured, the representation, the variety and diversity of representation is a point of contention for us.
I'm happy to have that conversation with you offline if you would like. But let me just say, you might remember that I was the only one that voted against this because I was pretty appalled at how the Community Oversight Committee had been treated, because we got you got the report the same time the City Council got it, and that is totally not acceptable when we have a Community Oversight Committee in place. So I'm very happy to work with the current members of the Oversight Committee to figure out how we can ensure that good neighbor agreements are maintain and kept, and then hold people accountable when they don't do it. So thank you so much. Appreciate that.
We'd appreciate that.
Mr. Mayor, ladies of the council, I'm Jerry Powell. I'm the Goose Hollow rep on the Stadium Oversight Committee.
Thanks, Jerry.
And I have to point out that the interests of Goose Hollow and Northwest District Association are not always exactly the same. Mm-hmm. Accepting that, the impact on our communities is our overriding concern. And yes, Commissioner, we pay attention to what is happening at the stadium and how it's impacting us. With respect to some aspects of transportation, access is awful during games, and that's something that the CTMP can deal with. Parking is practically a non-starter in Goose Hollow. We're at 80% of our available on-street parking occupied in the afternoon anyway.
And non-game days.
On non-game days. So it pushes it up to 90% and then varies between 80 and 90 throughout the game. It's pretty hard to tell the difference. You see cars with different stickers on them. That's about the only way you can tell. The findings of the first season report are kind of unremarkable in that respect. Yes, there's more parking. While we lack the statistical evidence, basically we rely on anecdotal evidence within the Goose Hollow board, and we talk with our neighbors. We're the host neighborhood, and our experience was pretty consistent with the CTMP report, which is actually what we're here about. There's another conversation about the Good Neighbor Agreement that we'd like to have. But that's not here. The report finds that our early expectations for chaos were unfounded. We expected the worst. We also found that some of our aspirations weren't quite met. Some were spot on. But that's good and bad. There are places to improve, notably with respect to ride hail, pick up and drop off. As was noted by the consultant, the impact of the ride hail is on access. We've got to do something about access. There are only a few ways to get in and out of Goose Hollow, and they extend for some distance from Goose Hollow. Northwest has somewhat better access, but they've got the same problem. Once people get into the area and try to park, you need to get them back out. It's difficult. We have unused parking supply in city garages and at Good Sam. You've been told that. It's really, in my mind, as the representative, is as much a messaging problem as it is a transportation problem. Both of these issues are dependent on consistent and continued messaging, continued experimentation. To some extent, there's technology available that's not being used. Some of that's on the timbers, but not all of it. Some of it's on the suppliers of parking as well. I'd like to point out that transportation is just one of the impacts of the operation of the stadium on its host neighborhood. We're very aware of the other impacts and work constantly with all of those. There was a question about Timbers and Thorns fans. They're season ticket holders. They're seldom the problem that we find from the new fan, the new attendee, the out-of-towner. Those are the guys that drive around blocks in Goose Hollow and in close-in parts of Northwest trying to find an on-street parking space.
And how do you know that?
I see folks parking in front of I live two blocks from the stadium. Mm. I see the folks trying to find places to park.
All out-of-town license plate?
Some are out-of-town license plates. Some of them, you know, go Gophers. decals. Sometimes actually see the same car repeatedly. It's interesting. That's only for Thorns games. It's Thorns games when mom with a SUV full of the neighborhood kids. And I don't blame her for trying to find a place that's close to the stadium.
I didn't mean to interrupt that. I wanted to challenge that assumption that somehow
it's
ticket holders, they don't actually use the garages much.
You don't see very often two people in a car driving around a block trying to find a parking space in Goose Hollow. So the word is pretty much out that there isn't going to be one.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
I have a question.
Yeah, Commissioner Hurtis, do you back?
Thank you. Now, how do you engage your community? You sit on this oversight committee. You have a responsibility to bring information back to your community. How does that process work today?
Basically, at the Goose Hollow Neighborhood Board level, I report monthly to the Goose Hollow Board. I also chair the Goose Hollow Planning Committee, and mostly the discussions of what's going on happen at the Planning Committee and at the Transportation Committee levels, because there really isn't time in a board meeting to get into an in-depth discussion.
And how does that get out to the neighbors in Goose Hollow? Do you do a newsletter or?
We have a very active website. There's a community basically bulletin board. Mm. The mailing list of the Goose Hollow Transportation Committee is over 90 people, 90 households. There's a monthly newsletter from the board that accompanies the agenda that goes to all members of the neighborhood association.
I was just trying to get a sense for whether there was communication flow, and it sounds like yes.
We also talk with all the dog walkers and the parkers on the street.
How about you, sir? What's the process you use?
So I'm obviously the rep to the oversight committee. I sit on the NWDA board. I also serve on the Northwest Parking Stakeholder Advisory Committee, so I regularly update them on what's going on. We've actually advocated for them to participate in the Oversight Committee because they obviously have a strong interest and knowledge, and frankly, I'm not able to wear multiple hats, but I can't testify on behalf of two different organizations at the same time. I would say that the SAC does quite a good job. It has used some of its budget to hire administrative support that does significant outreach, keeps all of its public information up to date. It is advisory to City Council, or at least to PBOT, such that it meets all of Civic Life's requirements for communications. So they do a very good job. NWJ, at their most recent board meeting, just passed our executive committee work plan, which calls for a communications group to improve what NWDA is doing. And I would just say that we're also advocating, not to get into the GNA issue, but we'd like to see more diversity on the group itself. It's it's five middle-aged white guys. I think we can do better.
I think we can, too. Thank you for that. I will stop there. Thank you so much. Please reach out to my office. I'd love to have a deeper conversation. Thank you.
Good, and I just want to acknowledge the recommendations you made. I thought they were good ones in terms of more frequent meetings so that ideas can be shared more frequently than once a year. I like your idea of increasing the diversity and not only gender, race, age, but also inclusion of other interests in the neighborhood. And your third one was probably the most intriguing one, which is when we make a recommendation, how do we know it's being implemented and under what circumstances will it be implemented? So I thought those were all good points that you made, and I wanted to reflect that.
Thank you.
I'll entertain a motion unless there's some further discussion.
Second.
We have a motion to accept the report from Commissioner Hardesty, second from Commissioner Udaly. Carla, please call the roll.
Hardesty?
I'm torn, right? As last year, I was a little frustrated because I didn't believe that enough thought had gone into engaging the community. It looks like we still have a lot of work to do to really have an oversight board that actually is representative and inclusive and actually getting good data that then can be shared with the public. And so, Mayor, I'm going to vote yes because I don't want you to pass out in your chair because there's only three of us. And so if I didn't vote yes, this would just die on the vine. But I'm going to vote yes with a stipulation that I do want to know more about the Good Neighbor Agreement. I want to know more about what has been agreed to in the former plan that has not been implemented. And I do think that we have an obligation to hold this organization accountable for the impact that they're having on the neighborhood. And so there's a lot more work to be done before I will be satisfied with the reports that we're getting. But for the courtesy of my colleagues, I will vote yes today. As a protest vote, I'm voting yes, but I just know I wouldn't if we had one more body in this room. Aye.
Udaly.
Well, I also want to recognize that the parking has a real impact on local residents and businesses, and illegally parked cars block driveways and crosswalks and make the neighborhood more dangerous to navigate. The Timbers have agreed to step up and pay for expanded hours for two of the four parking enforcement officers, which is great. Thank you, Timbers. But I want to make sure that we're not just settling on a punitive approach, that we're really doing the kind of public outreach we need to do to educate the fans about all of their transportation options, in particular the underutilized off-street parking and increasing transit, bike, walk, and carpool. So let's keep working on that. I vote aye.
Wheeler.
I was very supportive of the Timbers and the Thorns seeking to expand the stadium, Peregrine's efforts to expand the stadium. And with that came the understanding that there would have to be a much more aggressive strategy around how people get to the games and how people get from the games. And I think this report is a step in the right direction. We're not there yet, though. And I agree with my colleagues' concerns about whether or not the incentives are right. Clearly, if you have on average 2,300 structured parking spaces going a-begging while everybody else is instead circling around the residential neighborhoods looking for a place to park, the balance is not correct, and the incentivization is not correct. And so I would look to progress on that between now and next year. And I want to be very clear, this cannot be a check-the-box exercise. You know, you got the stadium, we supported the stadium, we agree it's a good public benefit for the community, but this piece of it remains very important to the people in the immediate proximity to the stadium. And so I think you can expect that next year we're going to ask even tougher questions than we've asked this year, because we've been very clear now about what our expectations are. You're collecting a lot of the right data. I look forward to seeing even more refined data next year, and I look forward to seeing improvement in those numbers, both in terms of the utilization of the parking facilities we have that are off-street, as well as an overall reduction. The mode split's great, though. I also want to acknowledge that. The mode split improvements, I think, are significant, and they show a lot of promise and a lot of hope. And I don't want to understate that in that regard, there's been some really impressive movement, and I want to acknowledge the hard work that you've done in that regard, too. I vote aye. The report's accepted. We'll take a 3-minute compassion break and be back.